Well, there are a ton of challenges and a ton of questions of the faith, and John is going to continue on trying to encourage us. And this has been exciting. Have you been enjoying 1 John? You know what's exciting? I know some of you are just really getting it. The other day, Pastor Keith gave me a little note after I had preached and out of 1 John, and opened it up, and it said, Pastor Jamie, love is many things. Love is two vowels, O and E. Love is two consonants, L and V. And love is two fools, you and me. Because you know, 1 John, he's really encouraging those in the church to love each other, to embrace each other, to minister to each other. And what a demonstration of who Jesus is yesterday. I want to thank everybody that was here and a part of that, that made that happen. And you've already been told one lady came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and that's why we do it. It's hard to explain to people how the oil changed. It's not about oil, but it's about people coming to Jesus. But you know, that's why God has called us to live our lives in radical ways. Because you know, that's kind of radical. That we would come together and we would do that, and that we would celebrate that one person came to Jesus Christ, and we would say together that that made it all worth it. And so God is calling us to live our lives like that. And so John is just continuing to encourage this fellowship. And you can remember, some people had left the church. They started in these new teachings. And there was this heresy that was being spread throughout the church. And those that were left in the church, they're discouraged. And they're wondering what's true. And so you saw the video. I mean, our faith is being challenged every day. They say they have found the bones of Jesus. Now, that could be a real problem. But I got to let you know, it's not a real problem for me. Because you can find whatever you find and call it whatever you want to call it, but it doesn't change truth. Jesus, you will not find him in a tomb. He rose again, and my sin's been forgiven, and your sin's been forgiven, and we have a Savior, and he's worthy. He's worthy. So keep digging. Keep digging. Find what you want to find. Call it what you want to call. Sam Harris, best-selling New York Times author, which I think anybody that's written has been the best-selling New York Times author. So I'm not sure how powerful that is, but he wrote a letter to a Christian nation, and he says, you people are ignorant. And of course, he was talking to me too. He said, we're ignorant. He said, believing in the resurrection is like believing in the Easter bunny. He said, it's the same thing. It's not true. And he said, but to be a Christian, you have to have a really low IQ, which honestly explains maybe why I'm a Christian. But I don't just believe that it's true. I know that it's true. And people don't like when you say that. It's okay to say you believe something's true, because then you're not offending somebody else. I was talking to a guy one time. We were talking about all this. And I said, man, I know this is true. He goes, you can't know it's true. You weren't there. I said, but I was. My sin was there. And it was on the cross. And I know that I've been forgiven, because since Jesus has come into my life, I'm not the same. Now I'm different. I know that it's true because I can't deny what Jesus has done to me. And John starts in 1 John 2:18, dear children, and he uses this endearing term because he wants this church to know that they are loved. And if you remember, John, he's one of the last eyewitnesses. He was with Jesus. He heard Jesus speak. And so John is going to use these. You won't find John saying, I believe this or I believe that. But he'll say, I know this. I was with him. I heard him speak. And you know what's phenomenal about being a Christian? We can share that testimony that we have been with God and our lives are different. Now, I know it's Sunday morning, and I know that there's a lot of different people here at the 8 o'clock service. And there's going to be a lot of different people to 9:30, a lot of different people to 11. There's going to be a lot of folks coming today to check it out. Some will be here because a judge told them to come. All right? Some will be here because they met somebody and they're trying to prove that they're very religious and they're church goers. And there's going to be people here today, and they're not sure what to think about all this. And I got to be honest. As I've been thinking about this message, I've been thinking about people that would be here today who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I got to be honest, I started off with this whole page of evidences for the resurrection. Because really, it comes down to the resurrection. What do you and I believe about this person, Jesus? Few scholars will debate that Jesus was here. Most people aren't going to debate that. They'll say, hey, he was here, he walked on the earth, that's fine, we don't have a problem with that. You know, a lot of people admit that he did miracles, because the enemies of Jesus recorded in history that he did miracles. But they said he did them by the power of the devil. And you know the devil's all about healing the blind, making the lame to walk, raising the dead. But a lot of them won't deny that. And they'll say he was just a really unique, powerful guy. There was a guy in the second century, his name was Arius, and he said this about Jesus. Jesus is nothing more than a creature, immensely more perfect than any other creature, but a creature nonetheless. You see, Arius couldn't even deny that Jesus was here and that he had some kind of power. So he just had to say whatever he was going to say. Well, he was just a really special guy. He was a really neat guy. Well, Jesus didn't leave it open to that, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. There is no other way. Jesus did not leave it open for you to say he was really a great guy, that he was a really powerful guy, but he wasn't the Son of God. He was asked, who can forgive sin but God? And Jesus would not deny that he had forgiven sin. And it comes down to what you and I believe about this person called Jesus. I want to share three things with you. If there is a God, then there is a truth. If we cannot know the truth, then God is cruel. And three, and this is my favorite, we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. It will set us free. And so there is a God and there is a truth. And God has made it possible for you and I to know the truth through the Holy Spirit after Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and rose again. And together, you and I are to be encouraged. John says, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Now, he's not making a prediction. John is not making a prediction. This is the last hour. Jesus is getting ready to come back. Why? Because John was with Jesus when Jesus said, nobody knows the hour. So John's not going to try to predict that because he was with Jesus. Nobody knows. I can always guarantee you the day he's not coming back. And that's the day that somebody promises he is. Nobody knows when he's coming back. So John's not referring to the last hour as Jesus getting ready to come back. This is the last hour of deception. Now think about that. Now get 60 minutes out of your head. John didn't say, this is the last hour. This is the last hour of deception. It's been a long hour, hasn't it? And there's been a lot of deceivers. There's been a lot of people saying a lot of things. We kind of made up this video just of all the things that are going on out there. People saying there's no way Jesus could have rose from the dead. And you know how they reached that conclusion? He couldn't have rose from the dead because he was a man. Well, that's the beauty of it. Jesus was a man. But he was also God. He was unique, unlike you and I in one sense and exactly like us in the other. You know what's phenomenal is we have a Savior who has been tried in every way that we have. And the Bible says, yet he was without sin. And that qualified him to be the only sacrifice so that our sin could be forgiven. I want you to know this morning, there is a truth. And God wants you to know that truth. And the truth is not a philosophical statement. The truth is a person. And once again, I repeat, Jesus said, I am the way, the... See, truth is a person, and we can know truth. And so this is the last hour of deception, and they're going to be saying a lot of things about the faith, about your faith, about my faith. They're going to be saying a lot of things about Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, first of all, I want to tell you, you are so welcome here, because guess what? All of us have been at one time or another. We weren't sure about all this. Now, I wanted to live my life in a whole different way, but then I had this incredible experience with Jesus Christ, and it changed my life forever.
John says, this is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. You see, the enemy wants to discourage us. And Satan has been called the father of lies. So there's going to be a lot of lies out there. There's going to be a lot of questions about the faith. And I got to be honest, there's going to be a lot of questions that I can't answer, that I don't have great answers for. And there's going to be questions that you don't have great answers for. And if somebody's goal is simply to stump me, we won't have a very long conversation because I'll get stumped quick. But it's what I know. And you know what? John is not saying to the church to have all the answers. You know what he's saying? Believe in the answers that you have. Believe in the answers that you have. Because I love this next part. John writes, but you. Remember, he's talking to the church. He's talking to this early church. And God has designed it such with the Bible that he's also addressing us. And he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So if you're a believer in Jesus, he's saying, you know the truth. He said, but you have an anointing. Now that word in the Greek is chrisma. And you've probably seen here at Hillview Heights that somebody may come to the altar. And we believe the Bible says if somebody comes to the altar and they desire to be prayed over for healing or for whatever, that we take out oil and we anoint them with oil and pray over them. Now, we don't believe there's power in the oil, but we're doing what God told us to do. Therefore, it's an act of faith that we would do that. Well, the oil that's used in an anointing is called chrisma. And he's saying, but you have a chrisma. You have an anointing. Now, I want you to hear something. You know, somebody was encouraging me, and they said, are you preaching this morning? I said, I am. I said, pray for me. And they said, oh, you're anointed. You're going to be fine. Well, I don't want you to mistake that only preachers are anointed, because that's not true. Right here, John is saying to the fellowship, but you have a chrisma. You have an anointing. Now, you want to see anointing in action? You should have been here yesterday and watched all these anointed people lay their hands on cars and oil filters and on food that would bless single moms and on hands that would hold children. You see, there's an anointing. And I want you to know something, because this sermon today is two things. For you who are followers of Jesus, there's an anointing on your life. Now, that's a good thing and it's a challenging thing. It's a good thing because the anointing is from God. So you have something that is from God that is meant for this life, the anointing that you carry. And so our lives, here's the other side to it, our lives should be a blessing. Our lives should be a blessing. And I want to ask you, are the people around you blessed because you're around them? Now, don't get me wrong, the anointing is from God. And so that blessing comes through Jesus Christ. It's not because we're so great and we're so miraculous. It's Jesus in us. But we should be an encouragement. I remember one time I was at the store. I was at McDonald's or something, and I saw a guy. He was in there. He was trying to get some food. He didn't have enough money, and he walked out, and he was sitting just there on the side of the road. I don't know if he was looking for a ride. And I just stopped a minute, and I said a prayer for him. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? So I just say a prayer, Lord, just be with this guy. Lord, I pray somebody pick him up. Take him where he needs to go. Lord, I pray for that because I follow you, Jesus. I pray somebody pick this guy up. You know, so I get in my car and I'm starting to drive, and the Lord was like, well, thank you, Jamie, for having such a burden that he'd get a ride. And I was thinking, well, I do have my cell phone. I could call a cab. And then I just, you know, it was like, oh, duh. And I'm totally not advising this morning for y'all to go find people to pick up and take places. Everybody understand that? If the Lord leads you, you do that, but okay, so here we go. So I walk over and I just say, sir, walk through the grass there to get to him. Sir, do you need a ride somewhere? And he goes, I really do. And honestly, y'all, when I got up to him, he stunk so bad. But that kind of made it even more special for me. Like, man, this guy stinks, and I'm going to pick him up anyway. And I'm going to let him get in my car anyway. And I'm going to take him somewhere. And I mean, all the way there, it was ghastly. It stunk so bad. But the worse it stunk, the more I felt like I was really doing something. And man, I give this guy a ride. And, you know, of course, I prayed somebody would give him money. So, you know where that led. So I
I asked Sam, was with me, my son. He's got more money than I do. I said, Sam, do you have some money? And he's like, I'll give you $5, but I need six back. It's his little deal. And so, man, I give this guy some money, take him where he needs to go. I pray with him. I gave him my Bible that Billy Graham gave me. That's a big deal, isn't it? Billy Graham didn't give it to me, but I always write in every Bible I have that it's to Jamie Ward from Billy Graham. And I've never lost a Bible. Somebody always comes and says, Pastor Jamie, I found the Bible Billy Graham gave you. Of course, the best part is if you look why he gave it to me, it says four sermon ideas. You know, so I was helping him out. So I get this guy where he's going, and I'm just feeling good about being me. Because I helped this guy. And I remember I get home, I get to the house, and trying to find my wife, because if I have a chance to tell her what a great man I am, I want to tell her. And so I go through all the house and I find her and I'm telling her about this guy and I helped him. I gave him some money and he stunk really bad. She goes, are you sure it was him that stunk? And I said, why? She goes, because you've got dog poop on your shoe and you've tracked it through the whole house. Get out. So I'm outside, I'm thinking that there's some guy somewhere saying, man, I really helped a guy today that stunk. Because no matter how bad his car stunk, I got in it anyway. Because we're supposed to be a blessing. And my life on the earth matters in terms of who Jesus is. And he's loved me, and he's died for me, and there is an anointing on my life, and on your life, and everywhere we are, our lives should be a blessing. He's saying, listen, all these antichrists, they're going to try to discourage you. They want you to feel bad about following Jesus. They want you to question yourself and second guess yourself. But I want you to know something. I believe in he who came and lived and died and rose again, and my life is his. And whatever he wants from me, I want to be obedient unto him. And you know what? I want my life to be a blessing. I want my life to be a blessing. And I totally acknowledge that there's an anointing on my life. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Did everybody hear that? No lie comes from the truth. He asked, who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. And no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do not believe everything you hear. In 1 John 5:19, John writes this, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. I don't know about you, but that's discouraging. But when I look, if you watch TV for 5 minutes, if you go to a movie, if you go out inside, if you watch the news, it is easy to see that what John is writing is the truth, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. You see, the evil one wants not just to discourage us, but to destroy us. Satan knows better than we do that there is an anointing on our lives. Satan knows that. Satan knows that on every believer, there is an anointing and there is a call for our lives to be a blessing. And here at Hillview, we take that seriously. I am so thankful for a pastor who preaches the cross and resurrection. I am so thankful for a pastor who will gather a group of people and go to Costa Rica to be a blessing. You see, we don't just want to go to Costa Rica just so that people will come to Jesus. And I'll tell you, that's the greatest thing that could happen. But you know what we want to see happen in Costa Rica? We want it to be a better place for people. We want people's lives to be blessed there. And we believe that not only can salvation come to that place, but blessing can come to that place. But blessing only comes to that place when those who have that anointing and are obedient take serious the call to go. Now, I'm guessing there's probably going to be some more trips to Costa Rica. There's probably going to be some more mission trips that our students and our university students are taking. And what I'm trying to say is there's going to be a lot of opportunities to go and be a blessing. And this church has never
done all those things to the neglect of this community, and we're called to be a blessing here as well. The enemy wants to discourage you. And John tells the church, I just want you to know this, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And that would be really tough, except John writes in 1 John 4:4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So don't be discouraged that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Don't be discouraged about that. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And God is calling us to give our lives and to live our lives and to be blessings. And you have an anointing. You have an anointing. And so how is that anointing making a difference in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace? How's it making a difference at Walmart or Kroger or Houchins or all those places we go? How is that anointing making a difference? This is so encouraging. He says in verse 24, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. And so be encouraged, church. Be encouraged that the promise we have is eternal life. And that means that we are living this life and being obedient because we know that there's a better life to come. There's a better life to come. There's a real popular book out. This may offend some people. There's a real popular book out and it's called Your Best Life Now. I don't get the title. Because I've said repeatedly, if you're having your best life now, you're going to hell. Because the best life is yet to come. This isn't it. I don't know how many of you have found, but the journey here is bumpy. It's difficult. Sometimes you think you come to a dead end. Sometimes you wonder if there's hope. Sometimes you wonder if anybody cares. Sometimes you wonder if this is true. But Jesus is always faithful. And He's always there. And He's always with us. And He's always encouraging us every step of the way. And so I gotta be honest with you. I have moments when I doubt. And somebody will ask me a question and I don't have an answer. And what that brings about is doubt. But then I can hear this still small voice saying, greater is in you, Jamie, than he who is in the world. So hang on. Hang on. It's going to be all right. There is hope. There is faith. I am here. It's an encouragement. John's reminding the church, don't listen to everybody else. Don't listen to what they're saying. Because you're just going to get discouraged. That's the point. But you hang on. You hang, even if you feel like it's by a thread, God can hold you with a thread. So you hang on. You listen to Him. And even when it's tough, remember that you have an anointing. That you have an anointing. And you're going to get through it, whatever's in front of you. You're going to get through it. And you know what else? God's going to use you to help somebody else get through it. I can't remember, I might have said this last time that I preached, but somebody asked me one time, my burdens are so heavy. How can I lighten my burden? I said, I know exactly how you can do it. They said, how? I said, pick up somebody else's. Pick up somebody else's burden and you'll be amazed at how light yours become. You know why? Because God set it up like that. You see, the math of the world just doesn't work in God's economy. So if you're carrying a lot of weight, I'm telling you to pick up some more weight and it's going to be all right. That's what God says, to carry each other's burdens. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. How many of you remember, you that are here that are followers of Jesus, how many of you remember when you first got saved? Man, you remember that time? You remember how sweet it was? Remember that you had come through a very dark tunnel and all of a sudden there's light? And listen, it's not like there was light at the end of the tunnel. It was dark. And then one day, it was like God said in your life, let there be light! And then there was a light. And you were saved.
Don't forget what you've known from the beginning. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And desire that for other people's lives. Desire that they come to know Christ. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. He's not saying don't go to Bible study. Everybody with me? I know I'm preaching to the choir at 8 o'clock. I know all of you leave here and go to Bible study. But that's not what he means when he says you don't need anyone to teach you. Because what does he go on to say? But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. There's all these false teachers. He said, you don't need those people to teach you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to teach you. So there are people who come to some of us pastors and they're saying, man, I'm really struggling with some issue. They're new Christians and they're struggling with issues of sin. But you know what's weird? They're struggling with issues of sin that we haven't been preaching against. And obviously when I say that, I don't mean we've been preaching for it. We just haven't mentioned it. We haven't been preaching against it. So how do people come to this crazy realization of what sin is in their lives if we're not preaching against it? So one of the things I've loved about Pastor Steve for a long, long time, because you know what? We trust the Holy Spirit to lead you in your life. So people come and say, I feel like I shouldn't be doing this thing that I'm doing. And I just say, well, stop. But you know what's amazing? Nobody ever argues or takes issue. They say, oh, okay. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you and to lead you and to guide you. So go to Bible study. And when you have a Bible study teacher teaching, you know what the Lord's going to do? The Lord's going to confirm every right thing that's taught. Because we have the Holy Spirit. It's with the Holy Spirit that we have that anointing. I want to close today as we prepare for our altar. And I want to tell you this, because I thought about this a lot this week. First of all, I want to thank you. When I look out into this congregation, especially here at 8 o'clock, some of you, all of us that are believers, are living proof of what God does in a person's life. And you know, I don't have any testimony of how I was out doing all this wild stuff and all these things. I don't have a testimony like that. Probably a lot of you don't have a testimony like that. And that's okay, because you know what? My life was changed just as dramatically as anybody else's because it was God who saved. And some of you do have a testimony of, man, I was living like you can't believe, and God saved me. And you know, I'm thankful for that. Because there's a lot of people in this area, this region, and they've lived such hellish lives that they wonder if they can be saved. And so some of you here this morning would say you lived a hellish life where you got saved. You know what? You have an anointing. You have an anointing. And God's going to bring people into your life who have had such lives. And you're going to be an encouragement to them. And you're going to be a blessing to them. Some of you have phenomenal testimonies like that. And there's others. And your testimony is, man, you tried to be faithful all your life. But irregardless, we start off as sinners in need of a Savior. And some of us, our whole problem wasn't all this list of wild things. It was this huge intellect. And we had all these philosophical questions about God and who God is. And God overcame every one of those things to show you that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. Well, I was going to list like 20 proofs for the resurrection this morning. And since I have said that, I know there are probably some of you here and you'd like to know those. So if you email me, ward@hillview.com, I'll send you those. But I wanted to end today just telling you the thing I am most certain of. And if you have issues or are offended, you can email me at hell@hillview.com and we'll take care of that. But I just want to close by saying this. And if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I just want you just to listen to me just for a moment. I made the statement earlier that I know that this is true. But I also know how very problematic that is for some people to say that. Because they're thinking, how could you possibly know that? Well, I grew up in church all my life. Since I was 3 years old. So I guess I had like 3 years out in the wilderness there, right? But since I was 3 years old, I've been in church. And
I didn't really come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until I was 16. And sometimes people ask, well, how do you grow up in church and not become a Christian until you're 16? Well, for a long part of that time, I just thought I was a Christian. Because there were some really wild kids in my school, and I didn't do half of what they did. And I figured half, if you did the math, that made me a Christian. But I want you to know, when I was 16, I was so overwhelmed by this person, Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, I was being taught a lot of different things, and I had friends who believed a lot of different things. And all these things I heard, they didn't make sense. I heard people say, well, truth is good for you, but it doesn't have to be good for everybody. And I was thinking, well, what if I run along somebody who believes that killing is okay? That truth could offend me physically. So that didn't make sense to me, how there could be some truth that's just for these people, some truth that's just for these people. That didn't make sense to me. And I just really wrestled with all these things that I was hearing. And I came to this point because there was a woman. And in about a 6 month time span, her son had shot himself. And a couple months after that, her only other baby boy was killed in a drunk driving accident. And a couple months after that, her husband was killed in a motorcycle accident. And I'm watching this woman go through this. And even at 16, I wondered, how could you go on? I mean, how could life just take another step? I mean, how do you move on when all that happens in your life? And it was hard. And I heard this person talk about what Jesus meant to them. And how Jesus got them through that. And I didn't know if it was just spiritual language, but I gotta be honest, after all that, I don't know that there's any religion left. Because whatever I was clinging to, if it's not real, it's not gonna hold. And at 16, I was confronted with the brutal reality of having to make a decision about this man named Jesus Christ. And either I really believed that he was who he said he was, or he was a fake. And I'd met a lot of fakes because I grew up in church. And so I knew what that looked like. But there was something about Jesus that was authentic. And there was something about Jesus that seemed very real to me. And so I'll never forget that moment. Crying, emotional, but coming from a very sincere place. And saying, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe that you rose again. And I have to say, and it really didn't matter what I believed, because it didn't change the truth that Jesus is who he said he was. And I knew that the only hope that I had in my life, like that woman, was to have Jesus in my life. And it's funny, when you realize who Jesus is, you know what automatically happens? You realize who you are. And when I realized who I was, that's when I knew that I had to have a Savior, that I wasn't going to make it on my own. And that's tough, to realize that I need something or somebody that's outside of me, but I knew Jesus could do what I couldn't do in my own life. And I invited him to come into my life, and I asked him to forgive me of my sin. And all the skeptics in the world who are a gazillion times smarter than me can say what they want, but my life has never been the same for 22 years after that. It's never been the same. It's never been the same. It's changed. It's different. And it's not because of me. It's because of him. He's the only hope that I have today. And you know what? I don't have any promise of what tomorrow holds for me or my family. I have no promise for that. But whatever happens tomorrow, Jesus never changes. And whatever happens tomorrow, no matter how horrible, how tragic, how difficult, he can get me through it. And I want to tell you this morning, that he loves you. And what he did in my life, he's willing to do in your life. And I'd invite you to come to this altar. There's a ton of people at 8 o'clock. They just come to this altar and they pray. So if you're here and you're by yourself, you could probably tap the person next to you and say, I got to get up there.
And I hear at Hillview, you know what's going to happen? Whoever's next, she's going to say, let's go. And there's somebody who would love to pray with you. This morning, be reminded that there's an anointing on your life. That means there's an expectation for your life. And God desires to use you. It's still going to be Him changing other people's lives, but He desires to use you as a tool in that. And you have an anointing. You have an anointing. And God wants to use you. Will you trust Him? And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, listen, you can have all the questions you want to have, but I've got the answer. And His name is Jesus. Would you trust Him? Father God, we come to You this morning. And Lord, I pray all over this room this morning that anointing be realized for those who are believers. And God, I know there's believers here this morning and they have forsaken the anointing on their life and they've been selfish. God, break their hearts this morning so they live their lives for You. Make us better husbands and better wives and better sons and daughters and better grandparents and better employees and better employers and better neighbors. God, make that anointing so real in our lives, Lord, that we would be faithful with what You've called us to be. And God, for all over this room, people here that don't know You, God, save them this morning. Show Yourself to them this morning so they would see You for who You really are. Lord Jesus, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. This altar is open. You come this morning. Let's stand together.